Move on, though, to an issue of a European Union, touched on by a number of our speakers. Kru Desai, who is a partner at KPMG, she asks, the European Union represents a vital trading market for many companies in London. What guarantees can you give to ensure an agenda of continued membership of a reformed and effective EU? Matthew.
Well, this is where I don't quite agree with Vince and Chukka, because I do think that it's right to resolve our relationship with the European Union. But to do so on the basis of reforming the EU. Our proposal is to reform the EU in a way to ensure that it works well for all member states. And we live in a global and globally competitive world, as I think the introduction set out very clearly. And we have to be able to compete as a continent as well as a country. And that means that the European Union needs to reform and significantly reform. And so we're proposing that we have those reforms, but then we put the results of that to a vote. And I hope that we can achieve significant reforms such that we can recommend that we stay in. But there is no doubt that the UK will prosper whatever the result, because we have in the past. And I would note that last year was the first year in my lifetime that Britain had traded and exported more outside of the European Union than inside the European Union. So the world is changing, and we need to make sure that the EU keeps up with that change. And I just want to deal with this point about uncertainty and investment, because it's often then thrown back. I would point out that since the Prime Minister announced the policy of having a referendum on the EU, we've seen record amounts of investment into the UK, and we've seen business investment in the UK increase by just under 7%. So the uncertainty argument, unfortunately, for those who make it, doesn't fit with the facts. But the fact that many, many people in the UK are unhappy with our relationship with Europe and that Europe needs to reform are undeniable.
Vince?
Well, yes, I mean, it's in a way, it's sort of motherhood and apple pie to say we need reform in Europe. I think, you know, all member states agree that a whole lot of things have to change. You know, we do need a less complex regulatory system. There are things like the digital single market that have to be completed. I mean, that's common ground. But getting these things done quickly and done for the benefit of the British is a different matter altogether. I will take on what Matthew said about uncertainty, because I think so far, the prospect of a referendum is a bit distant. You know, it has to be a certain kind of government that would initiate it. And I think if after the election you had a government that said, we are going to now have a referendum on the European Union, the effects on business would be very serious, I think, in several different ways. First of all, there would be a serious hiatus till you have it. If Matthew's right, that you have to negotiate all these things, that takes time. Is it going to take a year, 2 years, 3 years? Meantime, a lot of investors from Japan, the United States and elsewhere are waiting to see what is going to happen. Secondly, you have the referendum. Let's suppose for the moment that, you know, we win, we stay in. But if it's reasonably close, what the Scots have told us is that there's no such thing as no. You know, a referendum becomes a neverendum. It goes on. The issue is not settled. And you have continued uncertainty. And then thirdly, supposing you do get a rejection of membership, you know, it's a democracy. People may decide that's what they want to do, and we would have to respect that. And then where do you go next? You know, do we try to line up a Norwegian arrangement? You pay less money, but you still have all the rules of the single market, and you've got no control over it. You have a Swiss arrangement, even more complicated, no single market financial services. Do you want a Turkish arrangement, you know, less ties but less access? And you know, we would spend years arguing about our future, navel-gazing of the worst possible kind. I mean, this referendum is an enormous red herring and a distraction from the recovery that we should now be trying to build on.
That's what a Turkish arrangement, but something quite different. Chukka. Have I taken the tone down?
I think Vince is right. I mean, it is a bit motherhood and apple pie to say we need to reform the EU, but I mean, it's almost said as if somehow our European partners don't want to do the same. They want to reform it and ensure it does a better job for our peoples and is easier to navigate for our businesses. And you don't need a referendum to be able to reform it. Actually, what many people in Europe are crying out for us to do is to do what we've traditionally done, which is lead the charge for reform in Europe, lead actually pushing an agenda which will get a better deal for our businesses beyond what we already have. And one can speculate on the impact if we left. I think it would be utterly disastrous for us if we left. Vince is right to question what model. For what it's worth, I've spoken to people in the Norwegian government who've said to me we'd be absolutely mad to follow the path that they have trod, because for exactly that reason, we would be subject to all the regulations but have no impact, no ability to impact on them. And I think there is a bigger thing here. It's not about juxtaposing our trading relationship and benefits and ties with emerging markets against Europe. I actually see Europe as the key that unlocks the door to many of these opportunities around the world. And there's a real contradiction, I feel, in the Prime Minister's approach on this, because in some senses, I think it is legitimate to say he is taking us towards the exit door. But on the other hand, is negotiating this transatlantic trade partnership with the US, which could bring tremendous benefits for the UK. But we won't be able to have the benefit of it if we're not in the EU. I think if you take the uncertainty that was created by the Scottish referendum, particularly as you got into the 12 months beforehand, you can multiply that at least tenfold to get a sense of the level of uncertainty that it will create for our businesses. And, we may not have seen a massive impact yet on the investment decisions of businesses, but already they are saying that if this was an avenue down which we go, they are going to start making decisions based on it. You look at the comments from the head of Nissan and many other global companies who've chosen to situate their European headquarters in the UK, and it tells you the story of what could unfold if we go down that avenue. The final thing I just want to say on this is that we often only make this argument for our continued membership of the EU from an economic perspective. I actually think there is a bigger argument for us to be engaged and working with other countries close to us, have similar challenges, similar values, and similar economies. And that is a global security situation that we see around the world as well. If you look at what's happening in Russia, we see what's happening in the Middle East. I think this is a time to work together with other people, not just on economic matters, but more global matters, if we're to build a safer environment, not just economically, but in every sense of that word, for every single constituent that we have in this country.
I think we could probably spend the whole evening on Europe, but we are going to move on.